Welcome to Fun with Scotch and Other Fine Spirits. This is episode 72. I'm John.
I'm Judy.
I'm Marlis.
And today we're going to be talking about the Glendronach Masters Anthology. And we have three offerings from Glendronach. It's the Ode to the Valley, the Ode to...
The Ember.
The Ember, and the...
Embers.
And what was the third?
Ode to the Dark. Which we did in our last
podcast. We reviewed in our previous podcast, yeah. But we liked it so much, we got the whole anthology here, and we're going to try those out and talk about those today.
And as library people, we love anthologies.
Yes, we do.
Woohoo!
Collect them all.
Yes.
Let's see. The Glendronach Distillery was founded in 1826 in the Valley of Forge in Aberdeenshire, Scotland. It is best known for maturing whiskey in Spanish sherry casks, mainly Oloroso and Pedro Ximenez, which created signature dark, rich, and full-bodied style. Over the years, Glendronach has become a favorite among those who appreciate sherried malts. In 2024, Glendronach introduced the Master's Anthology, a permanent non-age statement series developed by master blender Dr. Rachel Berry. The collection was designed to highlight the distillery's range of cask types and flavor profiles beyond its traditional age statement whiskies. The anthology currently includes three bottlings, Ode to the Valley, Ode to the Embers, and Ode to the Dark. Each is bottled at natural color, non-chilled filtered, and at a higher-than-average ABV. So first up is Ode to the Valley.
And we determined that these are Highlands.
Yes,
they're Highland Scotches. But they're located on the border of Speyside?
Yeah, that's
country,
right.
Region.
Next to the Speyside region. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very close to it.
Speyside country.
Mm-hmm. But in Highland.
But in the Highlands.
Technically. Okay. So, Ode to the Valley. It's bottled at 46.2% ABV, matured in a mix of Oloroso and Pedro Ximenez sherry casks with ruby port casks from Portugal's Douro Valley. The flavor profile is supposed to be fruit-forward and lighter than traditional Glendronach, with notes of red berries, citrus, and light spice. This expression represents Glendronach's connection to its location, the valley where the distillery stands, and it introduces a brighter side to the distillery style.
All right.
It's not a real strong aroma.
No, it is a little alcoholy.
Yeah, a little alcoholy.
But it has a nice light fruit aroma to it.
You don't get the real dark notes that, like, you know, raisins or fruitcake or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. A little sweetness. It smells really nice.
Mm. Tastes pretty nice, too.
Mm-hmm. It's got that nice fruit flavor. It's like a lighter dark fruit flavor
yeah.
for
mm-hmm.
me.
If you will. Mm-hmm.
Like the golden raisins or, you know, some almonds and that sort of thing.
Mm.
I think I must take another sip.
Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. Me too.
Too bad it doesn't suck.
I know.
I just want to drink more. Mm-hmm. All right. That's really good. I like it.
Yeah, I know.
Mm. Not a real strong finish. Again, it's a lighter in tone than some of like the ones that either the Edred or Caledonia or the Ode to the Dark that we did the last time.
Great. Maybe a little honey too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's really, really nice.
Are we ready to go on to the next one? That's kind of funny. We got the one that I probably won't like.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. Mm-hmm. I'll read it anyway.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Right.
Sorry, folks. That's a, you know.
Just prejudgment.
A prejudgment. Yeah. I might love it.
Very
okay, so next is Ode to the Embers, bottled at 48.4% ABV. Matured in Oloroso and Pedro Ximenez sherry cask. That's for all of them. We'll just blanket it. Incorporates lightly peated malt, which is rare for Glendronach. The flavor profile, gentle smoke combined with dried fruits, toffee, and spice. This release demonstrates how Glendronach's sherry influence interacts with peat, creating a balance between smoke and sweetness.
That's probably a good idea.
Don't want to be influenced too much by the other ones.
It's interesting. You can definitely get the peat in the aroma, but it's not the same as if it were Laphroaig or Lagavulin.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
or peat monster.
There's definitely smoke there, but there's also, I mean, there's also the sherry.
The sweetness, you know,
present.
And the fruit.
And maybe the sweetness
nice.
will settle the smokiness that I am not fond of.
The smoke comes out more in the aftertaste, in the finish.
That was the aftertaste.
Yeah. I know that doesn't sound as nice, but you know what I mean.
Watch your words.
I know. Words are hard. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, leaning on the table. And you guys might hear clickety, clickety, clickety because we have three dogs roaming around us right now. We're not at Marlis's cat house today. We're at Judy and John's dog and cat house with clickety, clickety paw people or dogs or whatever. We're in the doghouse.
This is a really interesting mix to me.
It is. It's different.
Not bad. I mean, it's still not one that I would probably go to.
Come here, buddy. Stop pacing. But it is really, the sweetness kind of wraps around the peat.
You can almost see it. Putting out its gentle little fruit
embrace.
Arms.
Yes.
And embracing the smoke.
The peat that is like, what are you doing?
Stranger.
Mm-hmm. Sweet Pete.
No, this is an interesting thing. The only thing that comes close to it in my mind, and it's still very different, is Kilcolman, which also has peat, but there's also sweet, but it's a much lighter. It's more kind of a honey citrus floral with the peat rather than this, which is a little more medium fruit.
Yeah, the fruity flavors.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah. I like it. I don't think I would necessarily choose this over either
the other Odes.
Yeah. Either a port or sherry cask finish by itself or something with a lot of smoke or peat. I kind of think I like those flavors more isolated than I do blended together.
Oh, okay.
It still tastes good, but it's different enough that I'm not sure if it's going to be something I'm going to buy a lot of.
But, see, I'm thinking I'm really liking this.
I like it, though. Yeah.
Well, now we know what to get Marlis for Christmas. Okay. Note to self.
Very good.
All right. You are...
Okay.
And this is the ending.
Okay, I needed a glass of a bit of water before.
Yeah, good plan. Let's do that.
I guess I better take a sip.
Okay, Ode to the Dark. Now, we did taste this in the last episode, and it won out even over our favorite Edradour Caledonia. So we already know that we like this, but it is bottled at 50.8% ABV, which is strong. And I think I'm speaking for most of us when I say usually when the ABV goes up, We're not usually as enamored of it. It can be a little overpowering or, kind of like,
Yeah, frequently the alcohol takes over.
Yeah, kind of slaps you up around the face. But this is one that is matured entirely in Pedro Ximenez sherry casks. It's not just finished in sherry casks. The entire maturation process takes place in sherry. So it is the darkest of the three that we have here. It's absolutely beautiful, actually. the flavor profile is rich and dark with chocolate, espresso, dried fruit, molasses. This is the most traditional of the three, emphasizing the deep sherried style for which Glendronach is known.
I think I have cat hair in my...
Well, that happened. Cat hair happens.
I don't think it will overwhelm the flavors.
Oh, I don't think so either. No, I'm not at 50.8%.
I'm pretty sure cat hair's in everything in this house. So,
well, and in mine. It might dissolve.
And in mine.
Yeah, it might dissolve.
Oh, God, that smells good.
Yeah, it still has that lovely dark fruit aroma.
Oh, yeah.
I once went to a potluck where I made homemade cream puffs with homemade cream and custard in the middle and homemade shoe pastry. And one guy was liking it so much that a friend of his said, well, you could just get up on the table and roll around in it. You know, and that is my reaction to Glentronic. I will restrain myself. I'm not at home. You know, I am among other human beings, but that is just
But you are in a place
shit,
that if you wanted to get on the table and roll around in it, we would not judge you.
Oh, yeah.
You made shoe pastry, really?
I did. In my youth.
In your youth. You don't think you could do it now?
I don't That's hard.
I know it's hard. That's why I'm amazed that you made it.
I know. Wow. I did many things in my youth that it's like, yeah, let's not do that anymore.
But I get it. Yeah.
One is throwing up on my shoes, of course. That would be bad.
Yeah.
Well,
We don't allow throwing up on your shoes here.
We're mature adults now. We don't do that. But if anything would tempt me to that, it might be the Ode to the Dark.
But what a waste.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah. Don't do that. You know, it's a waste of good whiskey. And for God's sake, however you like your whiskey is fine for you, but don't mix this, for God's sake. You know, don't drink it if you don't like it, but...
Well, for one thing, it's too expensive to be mixing.
Yeah, well, there is that, yeah. But this shit is good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, yeah. I swore again.
All three of these are not something I would mix with.
Oh, no, and I'm liking all three of them.
Yeah.
I want to know more about Glendronach, other than just the, you know, stuff that they post on the web, because this stuff is good.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yes. These are all amazing. And I don't think any of them would need ice or anything or water or anything like that. So we're not adding any of that today. Mm-hmm. They're just perfect on their own.
I mean, if you're a noob to whiskey, you know, I could see maybe putting an ice cube in it, but
one.
I wouldn't overdo it because the flavor of these is so good on all three of them that. It would be a waste.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, if you're new to Scotch and want to, you know, start exploring some of the single malts, the Glendronach Ode to the Valley, I think, would be a really good.
It would, yeah.
For if you're looking at sherried whiskeys, and as Judy pointed out in her history lesson in the last episode, whiskey aged in sherry casks is very traditional because Scots are thrifty. You know, they will buy used casks from anywhere and put their whiskey in it, and it will, you know, after Spain stopped selling sherry casks, then they bought used bourbon casks from the U.S.
Yeah.
And now they're buying, you know, sherry, port, red wine from Spain, white wine from Germany, red wine from France. It's like there is this whole... Just think of all these barrels and vats just whizzing around the world. Not on their own, but, you know, on order. But it really is a whole kind of different economy than I am.
I'm picturing a Harry Potter scenario with
That would be much easier, of course. Yeah. But, yeah. But
you know what really amazes me?
What?
You actually listened to me last week and remember what I said.
I thought that was wonderful. I had no idea that Sherry... I thought... Okay, this is my prejudice coming into it. I thought that all these like sherry finished whiskeys and everything were something that the Scots were doing to attract attention.
Yeah, it was a recent invention.
No, it was not new. This is classic.
No, I was surprised by that too when I was doing research about that. And it's like, wow.
Yeah, this is good.
Yeah. It is very good,
and I love that the Scots will, you know, accept anything and put some whiskey in it and see what turns out.
What happens?
You know, that is both innovative and thrifty, which I think expresses the Scotland. Excuse me, I forgot to silence my phone.
If you happen to like Scotch that's aged in bourbon, ex-bourbon casks, you can thank Spain because they stopped selling. Their sherry casks to Scotland at one point, and
well, the law changed.
So the Scotch.
I think they had a law change, and they weren't allowed to do it.
The law changed, and they quit doing it, and so Scotland switched over to U.S. bourbon casks for a while, and now it's all there. I mean, they've got everything now. Mm-hmm. The sherry casks are back, and
pick and choose.
Yeah, things from all over the world.
Yeah, well, and the port. And the, you know, I mean, it's really interesting what they're doing with.
Yeah. I remember when we had our first whiskey that had been aged in IPA.
Oh yeah.
Casks. Oh yeah. 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 Yeah, yeah.
So, that was at Pike Place.
Yeah.
The Pike Place brewing. Market.
Yeah.
Restaurant.
Well, yeah.
And we just got the flight, and we didn't know anything about. Why does this smell like beer?
Yes.
And so we asked the waiter, he goes, oh, they had a an agreement with a distillery down the street. I can't remember which one it was, but and they, you know, they would give them their casks or their kegs, I guess they would call it, for beer, and they tried aging, and I guess it was just a, it was a short term thing at the time. I don't know if they still make a beer that has been aged like that, but it was pretty good. I mean, because at the time I actually still drank IPA, and John still drinks IPA now, but it was an interesting combination.
It turned out really good. And one of my favorite whiskeys actually is Westward Stout Cask aged, and that's a local, I guess it's I think it's here in Washington.
Yeah, I think it's over in
they have an agreement with a brewery, and they age some of their whiskey in stout casks. And it is super good. I would compare that to the Glendronach Ode to the Dark. I think it's that good.
A couple of years ago, I was down in New Mexico to celebrate a friend's 80th birthday, and he's Irish, so I did an Irish whiskey tasting.
Yeah.
And one of them was Irish whiskey aged in stout casks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was there. The whole thing about whiskey is depending on what you use it to start with. I mean, in America, we use, God only knows, all sorts of things. And then in Scotland, it's all barley, but, well, unless it's a blend, then they throw in other things. But then what do you do with it after you've got that essential, after the little yeasts have done their work and you've got that spirit, what do you do with it? And it's amazing what they do with it. I all three of these are absolutely lovely.
Yeah.
The Ode to the Valley tends to be a little lighter and sweeter and, so inviting if you were a newbie to single malt scotches, and especially to sherry finished single malt scotches. The Embers, absolutely. It's like, if you like a little bit of peat, but not overwhelming, and mixed with that kind of fruit, oh, Lordy, that's a nice one.
It is.
And the Ode to the Dark, we've already rhapsodized enough about that, probably.
God, and probably good. Will more. That's fine.
Yes, after we sign off, we're going to drink a lot of this. I can just... I sent a note to a friend of mine that I had been talking to this week, and I said, well, today is really an achy day. Mm-hmm. You know, I have some knee and things. But I said, I get to drink really good whiskey tonight.
There you go.
Hey.
That's right.
I know.
Right. It makes life it all
is good.
Better.
Life is good. Life is good. There is whiskey.
Yeah.
So, good whiskey. It.
And some days I come home from work and I have a backache and, you know, I have a couple of shots and I'm feeling a little better, you know?
Mm-hmm. So it's, this says that Westward Distillery is located in Portland.
Oh, Portland. So, right. Gotcha. Oh,
all right.
Westland?
War-ravaged Portland?
Oh, which one did I look?
You look up Westland or Westward?
Westward.
Okay. Westward is the one I'm talking about. Yeah.
In Portland. Is Westland the one that had the $1 million of...
Yes.
Yes.
I believe Westland had
whiskey crime.
And yeah.
God, there should be a whole podcast about whiskey crime.
It's just insane.
Or maybe commodity crime. Because wasn't there a huge theft in Canada of maple syrup?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, do not steal country's heritage, for God's sake. That's a bad thing.
Yeah, and I sometimes listen to a podcast called... It is called Bourbon something. I don't remember.
I said speak up. Sorry.
Bourbon Pursuit. And they were
talking... You usually don't have to pursue the bourbon. It just sits there.
They do a lot of... try one whiskey and one bourbon, I would imagine. And then... Because I've only listened to a couple episodes. And then they talk about whiskey in the news or bourbon in the news or whatever. And they were talking about the heist. And it was fun listening to him pronounce Washington names.
Place names,
yeah.
They really mauled Skagit.
The worst one is Puyallup. Puyallup?
I know. Pulley up is what I used to say.
Yeah, I know.
Pulley up. Yeah. But anyway, it was just kind of, it was amusing to listen to.
They
even couldn't pronounce that, what's that? Their rare one, the one that's only 10 years old. It was their first 10-year-old release. Garryana.
Yeah, the Garryana.
Yeah, they had trouble with
that. Difficult. They, yeah, I know. Gary.
Yeah. I'm sure they don't listen to us because they're Thank way God. Too. They yeah, have like they have like
we don't mean
advertisers
offensive.
And mm-hmm, everything. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I think they own a distillery. Mm-hmm, I think because mm-hmm. they were talking. They said, "Yeah, if somebody stole even like a pallet of ours, we'd be like probably have to close because that would like kill our business." That was a pretty devastating theft.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But this is really hard to sell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd think so.
Of course, they can't really sell it legally anyway because...
Although I take the Ode to the Dark and stick it under my sweatshirt.
Yeah.
No one will know.
We will frisk you before you leave the house. I know how.
It's very difficult. Right. Yes,
I learned how to do that.
She worked in a prison.
Yeah,
that's what she's saying.
Yes, I worked in a prison. I know how to frisk people.
I was briefly an MP in the National
See,
Guard, too.
See, so you got two of us here, man.
I had to do that.
We're not going to let you get away with it.
And we don't usually... Can I do politics just for a second?
Yeah, please.
All right, but if we lose one of our listeners...
Oh, I know, no. We're dead. Yeah, oh, I know. But I'm just... Look for videos and pictures of war-ravaged Portland. Because...
Oh, brother.
They have some of the most amazing entries. One of them is that the therapy llamas have been sent to the National Guard, who watched an orientation film, including the Portland nude cyclists. So
they're going to have an emergency nude cyclist thing.
Exactly.
Because of this.
Exactly. You go, Portland.
Portland is... They're smoking too much weed down there to be violent.
I know.
My favorite is the meme. It's got like... It's like what people think Portland's like, and it's got this like Cujo looking animal, and it's like what it really is like, and it's got like a Labrador or golden retriever.
Yeah.
It's like yes, that's Portland.
I know.
Come on,
they actually do have therapy llamas that occur that are brought to the airport at various times to help travelers deal with stress.
Too bad you can't take it on the plane.
I know. I would love a therapy llama. Well, no, I wouldn't.
Not
actually.
On the
They're
plane.
Very large.
That's true, yeah.
And
don't
you
they
need
spit?
Well, only if you're mean to them.
I don't know about
it. It could
that.
Tow the drink cart along the way.
If it's a therapy llama, I'm sure it has been through a certification process.
Yeah.
That it ensures it will not spit.
They took out its
general.
Spit glands?
Yeah. Well. No. They have trained it to be helpful to people who are in stressful situations.
But you know what? I have some great pictures of the llamas at the Bauhaus.
Oh, yeah. Well, they would spit at you. Yeah.
Well, they haven't been trained, no. But but you said only if I was mean to them. Would you lie to me?
That's probably true, though.
Maybe.
Only if you're mean to them.
But anyway, yeah, because I was thinking about that when one of them came up to me and basically shoved its face into mine. And I'm like, it could probably feel my fear.
Yeah.
But I have some great pictures of them. One was a real close-up. It's like
It was
basically a llama nose.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
But yeah, they're cute as a button.
Oh, they are.
They are cute as a button.
They're also excellent livestock guardians. If you put a llama in with a bunch of sheep, it will assume that the sheep are in its care, and it will be a very, aggressive protector of the sheep.
There you go.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, of course, I don't have any sheep, so
you have a pair, Olaf.
I have a cat. Yeah, he's on his own, basically,
I think he can take care of himself.
Try not to make
me
crazy. That's that's all I ask.
Well, this was fun.
Okay.
Do you have a wind-up paragraph or two? Do we need to read the wind-up paragraph?
Let's see. It says, all three expressions were first released in late 2024 in Europe, with the U.S. rollout following in 2025. Suggested retail pricing ranged from approximately $85 to $100 USD per bottle, depending on the expression. The Master's Here's Anthology mine. Is positioned as an ongoing series rather than a limited edition. It gives the distillery flexibility to experiment with cask types and flavor direction while maintaining Glendronach's identity as a sherry cask specialist.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am looking forward to their future odes, I must say.
And I think we all owe them a vote of thanks at this point that they do absolutely lovely work.
Mm-hmm. They do. Mm-hmm. Reception among whiskey reviewers has been positive, particularly noting the craftsmanship and the balance between innovation and tradition. Mm-hmm. Some enthusiasts have highlighted Ode to the Embers for its unusual use of peat, mm-hmm. and Ode to the Dark for capturing the essence of Glendronach's long-established character. Mm-hmm. End of narration. Leave space for your outro.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I wasn't supposed to read that.
No, you weren't. That was bad. Very, very bad.
John.
What?
Edit that part out.
No, don't.
Who wants mine?
I do.
Who wants yours? Mm-hmm. Oh, hey.
Oops.
Darn.
Ding.
You have the whole bottle.
This is true. Yeah.
Well, I don't mind it. I just don't want to drink the whole thing.
I have just...
Smoky sweet is not your thing.
I have just stolen Judy's peated sweet Ode to the Embers.
Yeah.
That is just, oh God. I can imagine sitting, we've just sort of entered into fall here in the Pacific Northwest, where the days are in the 60s and the nights are in the 40s.
And it doesn't rain all the time.
And we are so glad for this, you know. And it's like, I'm waiting until the days are in the 50s and the nights are in the 30s. This peated, sherried mix is a lovely thing for a cold night, and you're sitting at home and it's like, aha.
Any of these are great for a cold night.
Well, okay. All right. Yeah.
But I know what you're saying, especially the peat, because
a little warmth, a little fire, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. But
I'd rather just throw some peat on the fire instead of putting it in my drink.
Oh my goodness. I may have to invest in Glendronach. This is
they are good.
Oh, they're good.
They're good.
Of course, we put up enormous tariffs, so God forbid we can actually afford to drink them anymore. But
I don't
lovely.
The three bottles all together were what? You had to order them online.
About, I don't know, 215, 220, something like that. Yeah.
Where did you order them? That's what I want.
I have no idea, but
there are several locations you can
look it up. Okay, yeah. Actually, I was doing a search for Ode to the Dark because mm-hmm, I wanted another mm-hmm, bottle of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you should have just asked me where I ordered it from.
I didn't feel like it. And isn't this a blessing? I found a place that sold all three together.
He didn't feel like it.
He was busy, I'm sure.
You were busy. You were at work, and I was at work, and I was goofing off. And I found, this.
So John just admitted on a podcast.
Yeah, I was like, there you go.
That he wasn't working. He was looking up booze. Hey, but that's okay. He's retiring in March anyway.
What are they going to do?
He was on his break, I'm sure.
Yes,
exactly. Yes, I'm sure he was in the break room.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Buying a Snickers bar.
And I was, okay, there you go.
Why is it we only become eloquent after the third?
Because we've been drinking?
Oh, and if I said... That I, wasn't like totally favored or totally loving the Ode to the Embers. I lied because I just had another drink of it and mm-hmm. it's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. there you go. Second drink.
It tastes better.
Context and individual taste
actually
has
really
a lot to do with stuff.
For some reason, it kind of reminds me of that movie Coyote Ugly. But
Okay, I'm not sure why.
None of these people appreciate good scotch. I'm just saying.
Who?
In the movie.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen the movie?
No.
Okay.
But it's about girls dancing on the bar, right?
I think the premise is that, I don't know, I could be wrong, and people can write to us and tell me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
But I think the premise is that, a girl looks a lot better when you've been drinking than she does in the morning when you wake up.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
I believe that is.
That was my connection.
An ancient truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, just so you know, guys in that movie, the same goes for men. They look a lot better when the girl's been drinking, too.
Yeah.
Or a man, for that matter. Mm-hmm.
And whatever you do, don't use the shop app because it's so convenient.
It is not.
John. It is. I'm using the shop app because that's what I paid for this with, the shop app.
That's because that's what
they
use.
And now I'm going back to look at something I did before, cannot find it.
Well,
it shows me stuff that happened today, but not that happened.
I use the shop app all the time. It is not that confusing.
Well, okay, you're not me, but that's okay.
I don't use it. I'm old.
Yeah. Anyway.
Not that much older than me, dear.
I know, but still.
Let's see.
Well, you are, actually, but...
Let's publish that on national news.
Well, it is what it is, man.
It is.
I'm going to...
I'm going to be
hey, I made it this far.
I have full disclosure. I'm getting ready to have my 63rd birthday. So there you go.
I know. What do you want for your 63rd birthday?
I don't know.
It's very difficult to buy presents for people when they don't know what they want.
I know.
What's your favorite whiskey?
Right now? Glendronach Ode to the Dark.
I'm just thinking of that.
We might be out of that one by then.
That's
I might
true.
Have to buy you another.
My birthday's not for 2 weeks, so it could be gone by then. But, oh gosh, I don't, maybe if you can find a sherried scotch or whiskey or whatever that we haven't tried yet.
Okay.
I don't know if there are any.
I'm sure there are some.
I'm sure there are, but not at our Total Wine. I think we've done it all. Done it all. Actually, the fact that you're coming to the beach with us in November is a nice birthday present.
Okay. It is, actually. Right. That's nice.
I'm very excited about that. We're going to do a podcast from the beach in
November.
Western Washington in November.
But it probably won't be published till like January with our race.
Yeah, but we haven't March. Maybe when I'm retired, I'll post that.
Figured out what we're drinking at that point.
Well, we thought we would do whiskeys from our homeland.
Oh, yeah.
Like our home
where
state.
Where we're from, yeah.
Are you were born in Washington, right?
Yes, I was, actually.
So you can get something from Washington. I'm going to get something from Virginia.
And two friends of ours, Daryl and Barbara, are going to be there.
Yeah.
And Barbara possibly will be bringing something from...
Well, Daryl was thinking of buying something from Maryland, because that's where she was actually born.
Oh, interesting.
And Daryl, and like John, was born in Oregon.
Yeah.
I really don't think we need more than three, but... Yeah. Anyway, what was I going to say? I was going to say something.
Oh, we're going to have a fun time on the beach.
If you've listened to any of our other past beach episodes that are extremely chaotic because we've got like 12 people, this will be only
five.
This will be five people because none of the other people can come this year or chose not to.
Haven't done it before.
It'll be Daryl and Barbara and then Marla. Marla hasn't been in any of the other beach episodes because she has been unable to attend those.
It'll be a whole
different beach episode. So that'll that'll be our November. So that'll be the episode after this one. It'll be episode 73. Beachapalooza.
Yeah. Beachapalooza 3.
I know.
Beachapalooza 3. Yeah, I think it's our third one from the beach. We'll have to look that up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, dear listeners, if whoever you may be.
If you're still here, since we've digressed grotesquely.
Very many things, yes. Do investigate Glendronach. Just their normal age statement whiskeys, which are, you know, very sherried. And then this... What is it called? Distiller's Choice? Whiskey Maker's Choice?
Master's Anthology.
Master's Anthology.
Boy, you were way off on that one.
It was so close. It was a long time ago.
Master's Anthology.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, the Ode to the Valley is kind of that light, fruited, but sherried, lovely introduction to sherried whiskeys.
Yeah.
The Ode to the Embers, that mix of sherry and fruit. It's like, whoa, who did that? You know, they did.
Yeah.
And then the Ode to the Dark, which is the like, okay, we're gonna drown this whiskey in a sherry cask and leave it there for a long time.
Yeah.
And that is like, oh my God. Amazing.
It is.
So, you know, try Glendronach in its various iterations. It is just lovely. If you like sherry. If you don't, then go elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know,
don't try
something
it.
Else. Yeah.
just don't do it.
Then you're in the wrong place.
Or you need to keep trying because it's sherry's scotch is so good.
I never liked sherry because when I was in the United States, I only had like sweet sherry, like Bristol cream sherry or something. And I was like, oh my God, this is awful. And then I actually lived in Scotland for a year and they had dry sherry. And I was like, no one has told me about this before. Dry sherry is actually very tasty.
Yeah.
And you can eat it with seafood or, you know, various other things. And it is lovely. And so there's this whole mix of sherry and port and other wine casks. Oh, so
when my dad was still working, he often traveled. Mm-hmm. He, mm-hmm. he he actually was he was in the Navy. He was a sonar technician. At eventually, he went from radio to sonar, but on submarines. And then when he got out of the Navy, he was he worked on sonar for a contractor on submarines. So he traveled. He got to go to different places. And one time he went to Spain.
Oh, Lordy.
And he brought my mother, and my mom likes sherry, and he brought my mom back. I don't know if he brought her any sherry. I would hope he would, but I remember he brought her sherry glasses, and I believe I inherited them. I believe they're over here
in this china cabinet over here.
Yeah. I don't look in that china cabinet very often because it's a mishmash of my life.
I know.
You can see the story of my life in that in that.
Or things that are being bequeathed to you by relatives, yes, which I love. Yeah,
or Marlis. There's some stuff from Marlis in there too.
There is. Yeah.
I got the little bear. I love the bear.
I put it
somewhere safe so nothing would happen to it because I've got animals that break things.
I go to New Mexico usually once a year. I didn't go last year, so I'm going for like 11, 12 days this year.
I saw that. I'm like, what?
I know.
What am I going to do for 12 days? That's like 2 weekends or something.
I know. But they have these Zuni fetishes, which are these, you know, tiny little animals carved out of jade or agate or sandstone. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just an amazing...
I love my bear.
It is the whole universe of animals that have significance to the Pueblo people of the area. And I just... Oh, God, I love them so much. They are so beautiful.
And that's the china cabinet where we accidentally hid the moonshine from ourselves. If you've listened to our moonshine episode, you'll have heard this story. But the moonshine people, St. Luna, sent us moonshine to review for on our podcast.
I asked the guy why he chose St. Luna. Oh, moonshine? Oh,
because it's moonshine and Luna means there you moon. Go. Yeah, but anyway,
it's very hard to be alert at all times. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So anyway,
sorry.
They sent us this moonshine, and it was in this beautiful dark blue gift bag, and we wanted to put it somewhere safe because it was going to be a while before we did the podcast episode where we also interviewed. Yeah, we interviewed the owner, and John put it in the china cabinet, and neither one of us remembered that's where he put it. And we looked and looked and looked, and I was so embarrassed, and I thought I was going to have to try to find some place to buy, because they don't have it. I would have had to go online and try to buy it, so I wouldn't have to admit to him. His name was David, wasn't it? That I had lost his moonshine. Because I didn't want to say, could you send us another bottle? I lost it. And I'm pretty sure he had been like, yeah, right.
You are a bad person.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess we'll let you guys go since we're waxing quixotic on many things.
And digressing.
And we're going to have some pulled pork that made by Mr. John for dinner. So we need to go do that so that we can drink more stuff.
But try Glendronic in all of its iterations. These guys they have a feel for whiskey and a feel for all the different varieties that you can have. And just give them a chance.
Amazing. If you haven't tried them, do it. If you can afford the tariffs. Anyway, that's my only political statement I'm going to make.
The whiskey is so good that it makes the tariffs more affordable. So, go try it.
Have a good one. We'll see you next time.
All righty.